When this baby hits 88 episodes, we're gonna take a serious shit. I'm Zach.
I'm Riff.
And I'm Kevin.
And it's episode 88 of Video Games Hot Dog, home of the longest running toilet.
Which we have we've avoided making you guys listen to.
No, we always wait. Somebody always pees right before an episode.
Yep.
There's always water running through a tube that we wait for to start.
Which may or may not be directly connected to our lights.
Yeah. Kevin, you've been hassling me a lot today. You've been saying, give me the tax forms. We have to pay our taxes.
Yep.
You've been saying, don't plug in too many things. Our electricity is bullshit and you're going to burn the office down. You've been saying, stop peeing in the refrigerator. It's weird. We have like two toilets in here.
In the fridge.
That's now, there's my just a, salad dressing.
There's just a crock pot in the refrigerator.
Let's see which one wins.
Yeah. I still think that would be the best reality show.
So there's a thermometer inside the crock pot?
Well, thermostat.
Thermostat.
You need a thermos.
Wait, so you're saying the thermometer inside the crock pot is what you would use to determine who wins?
The winner, yeah.
Okay.
Whoever has the hottest pee? What?
No, the toilets were a different thing.
Oh, okay.
We've moved on, Riff. We're talking about game shows.
I'm confused.
It's as if you've been drinking, only you haven't.
Yeah, you're the only one that hasn't been drinking.
That's true.
How's everybody been doing?
We shouldn't do this show, guys. I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm right.
What have you been up to?
My sleep schedule's been all fucked up.
Yeah.
I don't even know why. Like, I think
you were
all
without internet, and it jacked your shit.
That and the mystery hunt. Basically, I think, is what kind of...
Oh, did you get back on the caffeine?
I didn't.
No, I know.
I haven't for years.
You wouldn't. It's been years. It has been literally years, except for at GDC when you accidentally ate that caffeinated cashew.
Fucking... It was like a... I think it was an almond. But yeah, caffeinated nut. What the fuck?
How did they do that?
There were just bowls of nuts around without any kind of labeling. And I just had a couple because I was like,
they
were nuts.
Coated with some sort of crystal.
Yeah, there was some... They weren't just bare nuts.
What's bear the difference nuts, huh? Between dare nuts and bear nuts?
Yeah, but I had some of these. They were just out in bowls, and then I just happened to see a bag that I was able to surmise where all the nuts had come from, and they were like caffeinated gamer nuts.
Oh my god,
it's pretty good. I mean, I did go home and rage on some serious Team Fortresses
against the machine.
I don't even know. What do you do when you're what does that kind of person play? It is not Team Fortress 2, I don't think.
I don't know.
Battlefield
Call of Duty.
COD blopped.
I COD blopped.
Yeah.
So hard. because of the nuts.
Did you see that Paul Rand was the machine against which they raged?
No.
Yeah.
I don't know who Paul Rand is.
He was the vice presidential nominee for
Paul Ryan?
Paul, oh no, yeah, him. He's not
Paul
Rand.
Rudd.
Paul Rudd, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Random House.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is good.
Yep. McDonald's.
I was wrong when I said we shouldn't do a show. Because this is really good. You guys, I'm really having a good time. So is everyone else.
I should not be.
Sorry, Kevin couldn't make it tonight. He died because of infectious materials growing in a dish sponge.
You're so wrong about sponges and the cleaning of dishware and glasses. Either that or you just like to use as much soap as possible.
No, yeah, that's exactly it. Look.
Do you have stock in dish soap company?
The core of my life philosophy is just waste as much shit as possible.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Like, I like to use Riff salad dressing for stuff that is not salad dressing related. Like, I'm not dressing any salads.
Furniture wax?
Yeah, just like pour it out on the lawn.
Hmm. Oh,
you know,
yeah,
like
fertilizer.
Maybe this'll, yeah, sure.
Okay.
Maybe we'll grow some, some of the plants they grow in the Hidden Valley.
I have a delicious yard salad.
Ooh, you could. There's dandelions in the yard. I think the yard is mostly dandelions, actually, at this point. Haven't been taking very good care of the yard. Among other things, my body, my business, the feelings of my loved ones. Yeah. I realized this. I woke up this morning and I thought, wow, I have not been paying attention to fucking anything for like 15 years.
Huh.
Seriously, the last time I remember paying attention to something is, oh, fuck, I'm 21. This rules. I had been watching the calendar to see when that would happen.
Hmm. Did you like, the moment you turned 21, you were like...
Yeah, I just didn't give a fuck anymore. Hmm. I don't know what it was. Weird coincidence, huh?
That's when you started drinking.
Oh, good. Thanks, Riff. Nobody had figured that one out. I'm glad somebody's there.
Yeah, well, you know.
You did not wait until you were 21 to start drinking.
I kind of did.
Really?
Well, no. I guess I started drinking when I was like 18. Riff, when did you start drinking? About 6 p.m.
Yeah. I've never really drunk enough to call it
starting
drinking. Yeah, I don't know.
I've seen you have an absinthe every
now and
again.
Yeah, I have an absinthe every now and then, or a gin tonic. I don't know. On my 21st birthday, we bought some cans of really shitty Japanese beer. And
yeah, I've seen you have a snifter of port, huh? At the Gentleman's Club. I've known you to have a tankard of Glug around the holidays. Boy, a tankard of Glug would really fuck you up.
That'd be a lot of Glug.
I think I have tankards bigger than batches of Glug.
Yes.
Well, it depends on the size of the batch. The angle of the dangle is inversely proportional to the size of
the
batch.
The sequel, Son of Batch.
All right, seriously.
Yeah.
Have you guys been playing any video games? Because this is fucking terrible.
Played a couple of video games.
Like what?
Well, World of Warcraft. Actually, I mean, I did a little raiding, but I haven't played World of Warcraft.
So you did only the most serious thing that it is possible to do in World of Warcraft, but you wouldn't say that you played World of Warcraft.
Yeah, but it means I played like 3 hours of it in the past week.
Did you kill Blood Lord Cryptozord?
Nope. I think this week...
All the raid bosses rhyme,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't even remember what we did.
Blood Toad Crypto Load.
The main thing... Okay, well, basically two things I played other than the assignment. Anybody listening who has an iPad and is into arcade games at all should immediately download. There's an app called Gridly, spelled with two E's, and you need to get it fast while
How
it's
many
still available.
D's and all those other letters.
One D.
One of each.
Okay. So A B C D E F G H I J K L.
No, two E's.
Oh, fuck it. A B C D E E.
But the point is that this is an app that is it's got an old arcade ROM that I guess the owner of it said, yeah, we'll put this out for free because we're not, you know, publishing games with it or anything. So
it's a bad game.
Have at, yeah, what it's not a good
Gridly.
Game. Gridly. But the important thing about the app is that it has a fully featured MAME emulator in it. So if you download this app and a...
Isn't the E in MAME emulation?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
So
if you type your PIN number in
to
the ATM machine, get the cash required to buy an iPad.
If you get this app and a iPhone or iPad file browser, there's one like called iExplorer or something, and look around in the directory for the app, there's a folder called ROMs that you can just drop any version 139 MAME ROM into. And when you boot up the app, it'll give you a list of all of those ROMs, and you can play any MAME ROM from this app.
I have a question about the world, Riff.
Uh-huh.
Why are there multiple versions of a piece of software from 1988 that have been released over the past 10 years?
I have no idea why. They upgrade the software, obviously, just to make it more feature-rich and more compatible with stuff. I don't know why they upgrade the ROMs.
But how can you be more compatible than the 100% compatibility that was achieved in the 90s with even then 20-year-old software?
Do you think MAME compatibility was 100% in the 90s?
For, like, Pac-Man, it sure as shit was.
Well, sure, but not... There's a lot of arcade games that aren't Pac-Man.
Multiple... Pac-Man did not change.
That we played that was the huge...
Well, yeah, I don't know why the ROMs get individual upgrades. I think that's nuts.
That's what I'm saying. I can understand why the emulator would, but why do the ROMs change?
Because
they don't.
I have no idea.
They don't change. Yeah. They were made by those Neo Geo guys that we kidnapped in the 80s.
Yeah, no, that's crazy. I have no idea, but the fact remains that it's using version 139.
It is 139.
Yeah. So, but if you're into that at all, get it fast, because Apple does not like software on their app store that can run arbitrary code.
Here's a question.
So it will probably not be there for long.
Why does anybody who owned a computer want to try to play an emulated arcade game on their iPad?
Well, you can take it with you more easily.
I'm pretty sure that you can take a computer with you wherever you go, as long as you have a wagon. What? I would suggest a radio flyer.
You can plug it into one of those sweet ThinkGeek iCade devices.
You could, for less money, get an X-Arcade joystick set up to connect to your computer that you already have.
You could do all of these things and more.
Or you could probably literally buy a $20 computer.
You could probably buy a $200 arcade game for... But...
We played Rastan as an assignment, right?
Yeah.
Yes. And you know what we did not play it on was a goddamn touchscreen.
No, but even playing it on a PC was tricky. Mm. Just getting the versioning to work out correctly.
Well, but it sounds like this iPad thing would have the exact same problem and shittier controls.
Well, the touchscreen controls, yeah, are not great, but it is fully compatible with Bluetooth.
Do you have a Bluetooth controller?
I ordered an iCade. It'll be here on Friday.
Does iCade do Bluetooth?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that seems like
that's how it works.
Put your thing against this thing and then use wireless for no reason.
Well, I mean, otherwise it would have to plug in, and because some of those games work in portrait mode and some of them work in landscape mode, you need to be able to rotate the iPad freely as you move from game to game.
But you wouldn't be able to do that in the iCade, would you?
Yeah, it doesn't plug in. It's got an easel that it rests on, and you can orient the iPad whichever way you need to.
Hmm. If you say so.
Yeah.
That's what I say. The other game...
I cannot think of a way that I would less like to play an arcade game than on an iPad.
Well, if you've got the actual little joystick and buttons, that's awesome.
By mail.
Okay, yeah, that would be...
They send you a drawing of what happens
Yeah,
next.
Those run at what, like 30 frames a second? That would take a really, like... Your first, the first several months of communication would just be them saying, you know, ready
Nothing.
Player one, and you saying, I don't do anything.
Yep.
And then they send you a few of like the attract mode screens and.
Well, no, that was in that you were gone for a really long time, and when you showed up, that had piled up in your mailbox. It just sucks that they fold each one up and you have to use a letter opener.
Yep.
It's really expensive too.
Because of all the letter openers you go through?
Yeah. Yeah, those things
they're
don't
disposable,
last forever.
Right? One use?
Yep. What else?
The other thing I played was Barkley Shut Up and Jam Gaiden.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
Is it?
Yeah, it is hilarious.
I remember reading about it a long time ago and not being as much in the zeitgeist as it seems to have been as a result of their sequel Kickstarter.
Yeah, the sequel Kickstarter, and also Patrick Klepek was talking about it on Bombcast, which is why I downloaded it. It's really funny, and they do what I really respect in comedy, which is they take this really ridiculous premise, but then treat it completely seriously, and I don't know, it makes it so much funnier.
What's the gameplay like?
It's a JRPG. It's a relatively modern style JRPG, so you can like see the enemies on the screen before you run into them.
Not great. It's like an RPG Maker game, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. It's not particularly grindy because, you know, you only have this set number of enemies to fight. And the
Are there potions?
There are potions.
Are there skeletons?
I have not run into a skeleton yet. I've run into some B-ball mutants.
Can you take a potion that turns you into a skeleton?
If you can, I have not seen one.
In the real world, poison is
poison,
the potion
yeah.
that you take.
It takes a while for the skeleton transformation to be completed.
Yeah, but you got time. You're dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't fall into some tar pits while you're waiting.
Mm-hmm.
Try not to be an Egyptian monarch.
Yeah. Don't go into like a swamp. You might just turn into soap.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you see that soap lady?
Yeah.
Yeah. Where was that? That's at the Motor Museum?
No, I've never been to the Motor Museum. It must have been somewhere else.
I think I saw the soap lady at the Motor Museum.
I've never even heard of the soap lady.
It was a lady that turned into soap.
Wow.
She's in the men's room.
You just rub your hand on her down. And then.
No. They keep her in these little squirt bottles.
Gross.
Huh? But yeah, it's pretty great. Pretty great game. Very funny.
Have you learned anything from it, Riff? Have you learned how to live and love and laugh?
I've learned. I've learned the importance of sweet jams and mad dunks.
Okay.
Are those two different things?
I think so. Apparently, I still have more learning to do.
If you want to come over to my house and use my my basketball hoop, you can.
Don't ruin the lighting fixture, which is directly below it.
Yeah, I don't really understand what whoever put that there was thinking.
They probably either did not play basketball or
nobody ever did. Like they put a fragile glass electrical fixture directly underneath the basketball hoop.
Yeah,
I mean, so that's so you can keep score easy.
One.
Right. It's always either one to nothing and we need to call an electrician, or nothing to one and we need to call an electrician.
Yeah.
Okay.
Depending on who served.
If we had it set up here, we would just have to make sure that whenever somebody sunk a hoop, that you were also printing something so that the lights wouldn't be on. So in our office, the electricity is from a time when they didn't think anybody was ever really going to – they didn't think electricity was really going to catch on. Apparently, we have aluminum wiring, which just means that the house is a fiery death trap.
Yep.
Just waiting to happen.
Can't wait.
Boy, I'm glad I don't sleep here.
Yeah.
How's it going, Riff?
Pretty good.
You signed that life insurance paperwork that we gave you, right? Anyway, whenever Kevin prints, because his printer is like a – I think it was actually one of the first dot matrix printers that Benjamin Franklin built.
That explains the kite.
He had to write his own device drivers.
Oh, my God. Ben Franklin was the original Linux asshole?
Yes.
Anyway, whenever Kevin prints something, the whole house darkens.
That explains his sweet fedora.
Yes.
It's horrifying. I don't think Benjamin Franklin had a fedora.
Did he wear some sort of red hat?
Did they have Busbys back then?
Busbys.
Why was Linux all about...
I don't know. I think I was thinking of a Trilby.
Headwear for a while. For a wire.
For a wire?
For a wire.
So there was Fedora?
And Red Hat.
Okay, I think... But Fedora was just a variant of Red Hat.
Okay.
Is it? Okay.
Okay, so then there was top... There was helmet.
There was penguin head.
There was Viking hat.
What kind of a hat is a Debian?
I think it's Eurasian.
Okay. Is that like one of those Chinese bureaucrat hats? It's like the little dome with a button on top?
Yeah.
I think Ubuntu is what they call those things that the guards at Buckingham Palace wear.
Okay.
That was apparently a valid word in letterpress.
In letterpress, Ubuntu?
Yeah. Fuck that.
So, you know, fucking, as it turns out, if you're trying to figure out... Like, if you, as a game developer, are interested in, say, a list of all of the English words, it's a giant clusterfuck trying to acquire that list.
Yeah, well, because there are way more words that exist in our language than anybody ever actually uses, right? And that is a bizarre oddity, right?
But, I mean, I think that's not the problem that results in Ubuntu being in the dictionary.
What? How is that not... the problem?
Well, that is a word that people use that shouldn't be in there, as opposed to, like, there are words in here that nobody ever uses, but they're still
words. For all I
know,
maybe it means something, right? Like, maybe Ubuntu is a thing.
Let's find
out. I think Riff is going to look it up.
Well, you're just going to look it up on dictionary.com, the Linux of websites.
No way. I've got the Oxford.
So...
I used to, and then I got a new phone, and it was like, hey, fuck you, buddy. You don't get to look anything up in me anymore.
It was a gift app, right?
Yeah, but it was the same thing for Riff.
What does it mean?
A quality that includes the essential human virtues, semicolon, compassion and humanity.
Huh. So apparently it's a thing.
I don't believe that.
What is does it have the origin?
The etymology.
Etymology. A word I don't know how to pronounce that is spelled XHOSA and Zulu.
Zulu.
That isn't English.
Well, it's apparently a borrowed word.
Mm-hmm.
We should return it.
I don't have much else to say about Barkley Shut Up and Jam. I think the Video Games Taco are doing it as their next assignment, so they'll have more to say about it then.
Wow, they're doing assignments now?
Yep, apparently the game, so.
They started doing assignments.
They didn't tell me about it. I didn't put them in the database field about the assignment.
Huh. Well.
Nobody ever looks at the website.
Yeah, that's probably true.
I mean, we live in an age of RSS aggregators.
Yeah.
Riff, you should play...
I can never tell the difference between an RSS aggregator and an RSS aggredial.
Aggravator? It's like, oh, this is making me so angry.
Aggredial has a wider feed.
An RSS Darth Vader.
Riff, you should play Counterfeit Monkey.
I do need to play Counterfeit
Jesus
Monkey.
Christ. Kevin and I both finished it.
Yeah, so you finished it, right? And
We
had very different experiences playing through it.
Yeah, you got stuck on some things that I didn't get stuck on, and vice versa. And I think you had to help me. I think you had to spoil a puzzle or two for me.
I don't know if that's true. I think I just had to hint at something.
Well, there was one point where I assumed that the scope of the game had collapsed down to a single room and that there was something that I had to do in that room. And you said, have you tried leaving?
Right.
And I said, no. Yeah. And I immediately understood how to leave and what I was supposed to do once I knew that...
That was a possibility.
Yeah. It was somewhere other than where I was. Man, that game is good.
It is surprisingly good. It doesn't really end with a bang. It kind of ends with a fizzle.
Yeah, it's got like a long falling action. Yeah. There's not... Is that the denouement? Is the denouement the climax, or is the denouement after the climax?
Denouement is after the climax.
Okay.
It was... I really enjoyed playing it, and I was stuck at a particular place because I had been too clever for myself. I had, like... There was a machine that wasn't portable that I made portable and just had in my inventory instead of actually using, and that was the machine I needed to use to, like... to progress, and I didn't realize
it. Was that
the
umlaut punch?
It was.
Umlaut pouch?
Punch.
Was it punch?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it became a mutual punch.
Huh.
Which was apparently a thing you could carry around. Whereas
could you drink it?
No. Right. I didn't try, actually, so maybe. Excuse me.
You could turn a rubber stamp into a rump stabber, and then it would kill you by stabbing you in the ass.
Yep.
Pretty good. There's no real benefit to doing that, but it's a thing that you can do once you get the anagramming gun.
Yeah.
God damn, that's a good
game. So the way that this game progresses is it starts you with a very limited tool set, which is a letter remover. So you can take a single type of letter, like, you know, a particular letter in however many times it shows up in a word out of a word if it makes a new valid word, unless she missed a couple, which was very rare.
I did ultimately find a couple of things where it's like, that should have had a message, but it didn't.
Yeah. And it's got a lot of limitations. Like, it can't do things and turn things into concepts. It can't turn things into living creatures or whatever.
But eventually, towards the end of the game, you unlock the ability to turn things into abstract concepts, which then suddenly means that there's all these other interim steps that you can take with the words.
Well, and that was the most beautiful thing for me, was like all of these things that I had wanted to make, and I was like, shoot, that's a concept, whatever. And like, just throughout the game, you're sort of frustrated by that, and you just assume that that's just the way that it's going to be forever. Mm. And then like halfway through the game, suddenly that...
It all opens up.
Yeah, and like the possibility space just widens.
That's where I got screwed, actually. There is a machine that when you look at it, it says, this thing gives your remover the ability to create abstract concepts. And I thought, okay, well, I need to use this machine. But one of the things that you need in order to use the machine, I understood how this puzzle was supposed to work, and I had the thing that I needed to do it, but in order to unlock that machine, I needed the ability to create an abstract concept. And so I thought, well, I must just be on the wrong track. There must be something else wrong. And I was stuck and stuck and stuck. So I eventually like went and looked for a hint, and that was not actually the limiting factor. There was just some sort of glitch where I had exhausted a conversation tree with somebody without unlocking this thing.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It might have been possible for me to do it from where I was, but like as it stood, I had to revert to a prior save from before I had talked to this guy to be able to beat it. And so I was like, well, okay, now I'm no longer reluctant to ever look at spoilers because this is a case where I would literally have never figured this out because I already had figured it out.
Yeah.
There was just a logical impossibility inherent in
the situation. That's unfortunate that you could potentially lock yourself out of something that way.
I think it is owing to, like, if the game didn't have the conversation system that it has. The one of the problems with IF is that talking to people
is very weird.
Super weird because there are no limits on your input, right? Like, you can ask anyone in the game about anything that you can type the name of, and that possibility space being so large and what the game is prepared to react to being so small, you know, various games have tried various things. Like Photopia basically just had like dialogue trees, mm-hmm. right? Which is honestly fine, right? Like it doesn't give you the same opportunity for like surprise or like I came up with something that was clever and the designer thought of this and so that's pretty cool. This kind of had the best of both worlds.
Yeah,
right?
This because was very clever.
It's this game is so fucking good. Everyone who cares about IF fiction, all should play this. This being Counterfeit Monkey again, because I know you guys like it when we say the names of things that we're talking about. You'll be talking to somebody, and it has this sort of conceit, which is spoiled in the first turn, where you are like actually two people inhabiting the same body. So a lot of the things that happen to you are in the context of a sort of a conversation that you're having with yourself. So when you're talking to somebody, what you will see in italics after, you know, the woman behind the counter smiles at you warmly is, we could ask where Brock is, or we could ask what she has in stock. And you can just type, ask where Brock is. And if it's anything that's even remotely similar to one of the things that has been suggested to you, then you will take that option. Those are not the only things that you can do, but they lead you towards all the important things that you can do.
Yeah.
Except you can lock some of them out without ever seeing them, apparently, in this one case.
That's problematic. Well, in several cases, actually.
I haven't gone back and... I was not trying to break this game. I don't think you can ever turn that off.
No.
You are always trying to break.
I'm just curious.
You're always in like QA mode.
Pushing the limits of things and seeing what works and what doesn't. I started making a spreadsheet of all the possible results of the different letter transformations, and you get a ton of different, by the end of the game, you have a ton of different operations that you can perform on the words to make other new words, which are also objects in the game. And it's almost overwhelming. My spreadsheet had, by the time I finally figured out how to get past this particular puzzle that I was stuck on, I already had 250 entries, and I was halfway through the alphabet of just my inventory of stuff. And there were things that I hadn't picked up earlier in the game or noticed or whatever. Yeah, it's impressive.
Still want a 3D spreadsheet.
Of anything?
No, yeah, I want a 3D spreadsheet. Sometimes you need one.
Yeah.
That would be terrible, though. You'd have to wear goggles to use it. And
be in the Minority Report?
No, I was thinking more like, this is Unix, I know this. Like
the future.
Yeah, you're manipulating it in 3D, you know. Remember VRML and how that was the future?
I don't remember VRML at all. Yeah. I remember QuickTime VR, which was like, there were two different views that you could have. One was like, you could construct something where you could rotate around an object in any axis that they had sort of provided you views of something, or you could be in the middle of something and then rotate around like a panoramic view around.
It's like when you're on Amazon and you want to see what this new dildo is shaped like.
Right. It's like that.
It's important. But see, now you would just 3D print it.
True.
And then
you never even need to buy it.
You'd be dilding for free, yeah. So won't somebody think of the
Teledildonics.
Dob the Dilder.
Oh. I played a 2 or 3 minutes of this sort of, it wasn't really a game, it was more like a proof of concept thing, which was a Stripe Knight Racer, I don't know if you tried this at all, mm-hmm. Riff. It was a website. You go to the website and it says, go to this particular URL on your phone. And when it has loaded, hit spacebar in this window. And what it was a sort of technology proof of concept, which was the phone becomes your controller for a game that's running in your web browser.
Cool.
And you just tilt the phone in a variety of different directions, and it controls your speed and turning. And it was very, very crude. It was like not playable in a fun sort of way. Like I wouldn't have enjoyed a racing game because I would have kept crashing into stuff. But the fact that it worked at all was fascinating. Hmm.
This is a funny story about my relationship with technology. When I go to that website in my browser, it doesn't say anything at all. When I go there on my phone, it gives me the URL to go to on my phone and tells me to press the space bar.
Yeah. Yeah. You've got some sort of weird... Maybe all your user agents are screwed up. Your phone is ripped.
Yeah, ever since I upset that gypsy woman.
Yeah.
You are cursed with fucked up user agents. You'll never be able to figure anything out.
Need to exercise.
This is going to be especially awkward in the future when your refrigerator orders new groceries for you. Every time you try to eat a sandwich, it's going to be gasoline. You know, because your car is also.
Oh, okay. Then your car is full of
your
corned
beef. Yeah, your car just keeps getting filled with corned beef via its HTTP requests to.
Boy. On your recommendation, I played that Kongregate Antimatter game in Unity. And like,
did it upset you?
It didn't upset me. It just it seems like there are a number of games built in these relatively young platforms that are just kind of like people who are
trying to get hired by Valve.
Playing with a platform and being like, okay, what can this platform do really easily? And let's just make a game with that as a mechanic, right? Like, and this one, it was just like, it's, you know, built in Unity, and it's, the whole game is all about texture swapping, right? Like,
oh, right, okay.
The entire game is basically, some textures are doors or like are holes, and some of them are ladders, and we're just moving them from one place to another in order to.
But functionally, it wasn't just swapping textures, right? Like it was.
It was. I mean, like there was very little else going on, right? Like,
but
you were.
One texture is a door that you can walk through, and one texture is a dude that you can talk to.
You could never swap the dude out.
Okay.
The dude was just like as if an NPC. I felt it was like very much kind of like a one-trick pony that was only vaguely interesting. I don't know. It was.
I mean, I didn't say, Kevin, play this game. It's going to change your fucking life.
Sure.
This is going to be like Jonathan Livingston fucking Seagull, the game. Because I know how much that changed your life for
Dick,
the better.
Dick Bach.
Oh, man. I remember reading another Dick Bach book where he was like, oh, man, I went into a parallel universe where there was a me, but he smoked cigarettes. Oh, that was so lame. I was like, man, fuck you, Dick Bach.
did you play Surgeon Simulator 2013?
I did not.
It is extremely difficult.
I heard it described as like quap, except you're trying to perform heart surgery.
Oh my.
Yeah, they say perform a heart transplant, but there's no other heart to put into this patient anywhere around you.
So it's just a heart removal.
Heart removal, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, sir, your entire heart is cancer.
I was able to get rid of the rib cage and the lungs, but I couldn't get the heart out. I was having a really hard time with it.
You get rid of the rib cage?
Well, yeah. I did.
It's pretty rough, right?
It is so hard to grab onto something with this game because you've got controls that are, your mouse is basically the position of the arm, the like tilt of the arm, and the like position of the wrist.
Is
and
it like a person's hand?
The left.
Or
you have one hand and you're trying to do the surgery with one hand.
Well, because you're doing it to yourself.
Maybe.
And your other hand is holding the camera.
Your head's on the other end awkwardly. If the feet were up, that would be funny. If you were just... Yeah, that would be funnier, actually, I think.
No, you're like that Russian, that badass Russian guy that removed his own appendix.
Yes.
Can you read about that?
I vaguely remember
I
that story.
About that, yeah.
But yeah, it is so difficult to hold on to something, to like grab it and hold on to it, that as soon as I got a hold of the bone saw, I was like, I'm cutting everything here, because while I got this, I gotta do it.
Every one of your tools just end up in the chest cavity.
Most of them end up on the floor.
Can you get them off the floor?
No. Once they're off the little table to the sides,
they're not sanitary anymore.
They're down on the ground.
You can't. Did it maybe have some voice recognition where you were supposed to be yelling for a nurse? Bring me my other hand.
Hand stat. You hold out your hand so she can slap your other hand into it.
Yeah. Thanks. That gave me the confidence that I needed. that well-timed high five saved this patient.
The power of high fives. It's funny. It's like Quap is both a joke and kind of an interesting game. This was, I felt like, more of a joke because I don't feel like there was any real game there. If there is some way to actually remove the heart and put in another heart and sew them back up, more power to you, I guess. But I think it's more of a like, haha, isn't this funny?
It's a gag.
Gag, yeah. Less of a game. And then I spent a surprisingly large amount of time messing around with this anti-idol game, which is a congregate game. It's very much like a progress quest kind of thing where you can just let it run in your browser. And
idle, I-D-L-E.
I-D-L-E. Like,
so yeah. There is a class of games that are idle games, right? That are about sitting and letting them run.
Yeah, and this one has the same trappings, but then if you actually sit there and do stuff with it, you are, you know, 10 times more productive, 100 times more productive.
Right, because you have to mouse over the coins to pick them up, even though the coins are falling out on their own. I was playing a game today like that. It was one of the, you know, like every once in a while I just go to Kongregate and I look at the popular games, like, what's going on with Flash games now? So there's some zombie game where it just seems like it's some free-to-play microtransaction bullshit that would otherwise be pretty fun. And then this game by that Nerduke studio that it basically, you make a decision every 15 or 20 seconds and it kind of plays itself. Whenever a game makes a point of making it so you have to mouse over the coins that fall out of things to pick them up, that means that I think it's a game that you probably shouldn't be playing.
Well, it reminded me of...
Because that is what stops the game from playing itself.
Well, what was that game that was the Japanese game that was just reduced completely to its systems? I forget. It was like a role-playing game.
Algorithm?
Something like
attribute?
That. Attribute? Yeah.
Wow, fuck, what was it called? Beep! The game we were trying to think of is called Parameters. It's by Nico Games. You can go there, play it, nekogames.jp. Or you could just search for Parameters on the Google. It's pretty fun, though.
Boop!
It was just those rectangles. You had to click. That was actually more.
But you
active.
Also had, like, to, you didn't... had to mouse over a bunch of stuff to like pick anything up. You know. Like,
oh yeah.
And it was very similar in that regard. And it reminded me of that. It had this game had a lot more variety of actions and interactions. And just I think it's been, you know, sort of the person who made it has just been sort of adding systems to it for a couple of years now. So it's got a surprisingly deep amount of stuff going on. Not that it's interesting, really, but I was curious just to see the kinds of different interactions that they had built in that were incredibly simplistic and yet like meant to be like sort of indicative of this just idle game kind of.
What the fuck was that game called?
I don't remember. Yeah, it's something like...
It was actually kind of neat.
Yeah, no, we talked about it before. Anybody who's been paying attention will know, and I'm sure someone will write in and tell us.
It had different rectangles, and the height and the width of the rectangles meant something, and then you would click on them to...
And there was a final boss and keys that unlocked other rectangles and stuff. Yeah, like... That one was strangely compelling and took you, 20 or 30 minutes to complete. Whereas this game is much more open-ended. It'll just go on. I don't know if it'll go on forever. Like, the numbers have to have some sort of integer limit, but...
It is... there are games that are just simulations that you exert some control over and then watch what happens, right?
Yeah.
Like, The Sims is very much, one of the most popular game franchises ever.
SimCity
is a lot kind like of, that, right?
Yeah.
And somehow, like, that's okay if you trust them to have developed
rich systems
and a compelling simulation. But in a flash game where it's just, like, you know, some ninjas throwing shurikens at other ninjas, like...
Yeah, I don't know what the threshold is. And that was kind of where what I was curious about. It was... There is, like, a little role-playing game element to it where you fight monsters and stuff like that, but it's, you know, you can just totally automate it at like a lower productivity level. There's a completely abstract to just push this button as many times as you can, and the closer to the middle of the button moves around the screen, and the closer to the middle of the button that you get, the more valuable it is.
So to a certain extent, Kingdom of Loathing is a game that a lot of people just have software that automates
right
play with quotes around it, right? They are getting something out of it.
There's a high level satisfaction
in terms of progress, right? But
of like understanding, like feeling a mastery over systems, responding to certain random elements, and like coming up with a coherent strategy.
But the bulk of the work that we do is not for the people who are playing it that way, right? Like we are providing what we hope is a rich and meaningful experience. And I mean, we are, you know, multiple dudes spending full-time jobs providing experiences for people. And the fact that it can be boiled down for one person's goals to something where they don't even see it is like...
Well, that's the thing. Like, we're content-heavy. There's a ton of writing. And then if you just strip all that away, you could just have a really abstract...
Well,
if
you strip it all away and all you want is to take a single one of the numbers and make it bigger, right? But it seems to be really easy to fall into that goal, and with a lot of stuff, like the way that it's presented, makes it very easy for you to slip into that.
Right. Did we talk about the stock market in a recent episode?
I don't think so. I don't remember ever talking about the stock market.
Yeah. Where I had this realization a while back that I think stockbrokers and like traders and that thing are just like optimizer game players, but what they're doing is they are trying to find ways to exploit real world monetary systems such that the number that they get bigger is their bank account balance or their, you know, their brokerage account balance. And it's all about arbitrage being like a gaming advantage. And
I got into a kind of a contentious argument with a friend of mine about a thing that his brother had signed up for, which was a service that just gave you money by exploiting like fraction of a second transmission delays in stock prices from like East Coast brokerages to West Coast brokerages.
How does that work?
I don't know. Not very it worked reliably enough that they just could do it over and over and over and over again. And sometimes it would work and it produced a yield, right? Like,
wow.
They would just they would see something change and then they would try to submit the trade fast enough on a West Coast brokerage that it would, preempt the change. And, you know, eventually they caught on and it just stopped working. But the people who were doing it at the time just like made a bunch of money for free. And the argument that we got into was me saying that, like, I mean, I don't know, this is one of those things that just makes me sound like an asshole, but I felt that exploiting that made the world worse because there was somebody whose job might have otherwise been to do something productive who suddenly on that day or that month or that year became, their job was now to just stop this bullshit from happening.
Well, I mean, a lot of what some of these financial markets boil down to for people who are just in it as a, you know, disinterested third party who's just putting money into it is just kind of gambling. It's just sort of like legalized, complicated gambling, right? Like, I talked to a friend of mine who does like oil futures and oil derivatives. And he talked about how...
See, my friends do oil paintings.
Right. And what he was saying is that this is a valuable service for the people that are producing oil and the people that are consuming oil, because they need some way to sort of counteract volatility and the risk that's in the marketplace. Like airlines need to make sure that they're not going to go out of business because they sell a bunch of tickets at $200 a ticket, and then the cost of fuel goes up by a factor of two, and they lose a bunch of money, right? So they need to be able to lock in prices, so they buy oil futures at a certain price, knowing that they'll be able to get that price or better for the gas that they need to buy. And similarly, you know, oil manufacturers don't know what the demand is going to be in the future. So like they want to be able to sort of stabilize their profits in the long term. But the problem is that the oil manufacturers are looking at like billions of barrels, and the airlines are looking at like millions of barrels. And so there's a discrepancy there. So that's why there needs to be middlemen to sort of break up the producers into sort of reasonable bite-sized chunks.
I guess that's the thing about video games, is that they put you closer to there are fewer layers of abstraction because there isn't anything real on the other side of the abstraction, right?
Right.
So, like, looking at the way that things happen in a game where the systems are simplified and don't actually have any effect on the real world will indicate just kind of fundamental features of systems where, at a certain level of abstraction, they're just broken.
Yeah.
Like, this is the kind of shit... Like, any game system of sufficient complexity will result in exploits. Any real world system is already of sufficient complexity that there is a whole class of people whose job it is to stop those exploits from happening. Another larger class of people whose job it is to take advantage of those exploits
to try to take advantage of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do worry about the sort of increasing level of abstraction that the financial markets are getting into, like that whole economic crisis that we had with the collateralized debt obligations.
Mortgages.
Well, yeah, so those, which by themselves are bad,
coin thing.
But then sort of like taking all of those, putting them into a big pot, which theoretically reduces the risk, because you're like, in the individual mortgage, it has a pretty high risk, but if you clump that in with a bunch of other mortgages, the odds of all of them going bust are much lower, and then breaking that up into tiny pieces and then selling it off, right? Like, that was kind of just making it so abstract that people didn't really even know what was going on. And then the people that, like, and then the companies that were, realized that they were selling these like shitty investments and then taking out insurance policies against the failure of their own investments. Like, that was where things got to the point where it was like obviously immoral.
Again, that reminds me, you guys have signed those life insurance forms that I gave you, right? Riff, you signed yours in salad dressing.
I hope it was salad dressing.
What have you been playing, Zach?
Oh, The Secret World.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I
You're back on the horse?
Well, a little bit. I just played a lot of it this weekend, and then a little bit more of it not this weekend. Since it went free to play, there are suddenly like, I mean, it's not really free to play, right? You got to buy it. It went Guild Wars. But there is suddenly like a guild of people that I know who are playing it fairly regularly. And so
were they kept out by a subscription fee? Did they start playing soon as it became?
Well, one guy, it turns out that is a guy that was playing that I know, was a lifetime subscriber. He was like a big believer in it the whole time. Sort of the way that I was in the beginning.
Is there a lump sum fee that you could pay to be a lump sum?
There is, yeah. I considered doing it in the beginning. I think I talked about it on the podcast. Like, not because I felt like it would be a good deal for me, but just because I wanted to give them some money. And then I think I didn't do it because I was like, well, if I wanted to give them some money, I could just buy a bunch of shit from their cash shop. And then I didn't do that. I have continued, albeit accidentally, to subscribe since they went free to play. This was a weird thing. I logged in and it's like, all right, you've got 3,000 points to spend in the cash shop. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, that's, I mean, I remember like getting some number, like maybe like 1,100 or something for pre-ordering, or for some reason I had that much Cash Shop money. And I used that to buy like an outfit that had a sweet cowboy hat, because I wanted a sweet cowboy hat for my Illuminati bro. But so I had like 3,000 of these points. One of the things that I could buy cost 0 points, and it was like an XP boost. I was like, all right, well, this just like doubles the XP that you get from killing monsters for an hour. And as it turns out, that item is not consumed on use. It just has a 16-hour cooldown.
Yeah, that's the subscription. That's like the subscriber bonus.
Oh, that's what you get as a subscription. So yeah. if I cancel my subscription, will that item go away? Yeah. My gosh, I don't want that. What's funny is that the picture of the, like, it is a milkshake. So it's a milkshake that you can take one swig. Like, maybe, God, this milkshake is so fucking good that it just, like, it makes me love the world so much that everything that I kill in the world has double the impact.
Well, you will drink their milkshakes.
On my psyche. But I need to save it, right? So I can only have one drop of this delicious milkshake every 16 hours.
You would think it would melt in between.
Yeah, you would. Really, what you would think is that maybe they would not have made that a milkshake.
I mean, is it a There Will Be Blood reference?
I don't know. I don't know anything.
Kind of
it.
Funny, right?
So there are other things.
You're going to drink that, and then you're going to go kill a bunch of shit. So
there are things that are more meaningful temporary progress boosts that are more expensive.
Oh.
And actually are consumed. But yeah, I don't, like, there was a series of missions that I bought for, you know, they were also free because I was a subscriber. Yeah, all of the things that I bought in the store were zero coins.
You are bad at economy.
I am, yeah. Or I'm good at it, right? Because I got all this awesome shit.
Like, that's economizing.
Although, yeah, I'm apparently still just paying them the $12 a month or whatever.
$14.99.
$14.99. Jesus Christ!
Yeah.
Why didn't somebody tell me about this? I tried to cancel it, but I couldn't figure out how to log in. Something happened during the open beta where my account that I log into the game with is different than my billing account. Mm. Not real different. It's like
different enough.
Yeah, it's Zap Jackson versus Zach Japson. So I had to come up with a different one. So I was like, well, what the fuck? I'm never going to remember something new. What am I, 14? No, I don't have that kind of mental plasticity anymore. Object permanence. Like, normally the way that I stop subscribing to MMOs is the credit card that I used expires.
Expires, yeah.
Yeah, like, that's just my typical.
You should ask for six-month credit cards for things like this.
Yeah, I should. I'm probably still subscribed to Star Wars The Old Republic.
No.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, you're not.
Oh, right. You can see all that.
I know. When
I got a guardian angel looking over the books. Well, because I write this shit off, right?
So yeah. I don't know that I'm a guardian angel so much as
as a bookkeeper.
Yeah, a bookie.
You're an accountant. Anyway.
Yeah.
I was not super having fun with the secret world. When I left the secret world, I was like...
Which was like a month ago? 2 months ago?
No, it was 6 months ago, probably. I had gotten to the second of the sort of three main areas of the game, which was Egypt. And I wasn't super excited about... Like... It starts out really, really strong because it's all Lovecraft and creepy Stephen King-y shit on a New England island, and it's like it just really connected in some fundamental ways. Like, there is the haunted amusement park level, and there is the, you know, the school for crazy witches. That was as far as I was getting with that description. School for
scandal?
Scandally clad witches?
Paranormal. I don't even know, man. It was the Innsmouth Academy for apparently people who summoned a lot of flesh creatures.
X-Mans?
Sure, X-Mans. You know, and then there was like the Haunted Mine or whatever. And then.
haunted mime.
That too. You go. Then there's a lot of clowns. There's some clowns. There's haunted clowns. Huh. So.
Is that one of the classes?
If you took a clown, sewed its mouth shut, and then murdered it, it would basically come back as a haunted mime. Like, it's technically a haunted clown,
okay,
right?
Sure.
But since it can't talk,
yeah,
effectively identical to haunted.
But I thought
mime.
The ghosts got in through the mouth. So if you sewed the mouth
they
shut.
They get into you through the mouth. Like, they don't need to get into themselves.
No, but once he's dead, like, how does it get possessed? How does it get haunted?
How does the ghost get haunted?
No, how does the mime get haunted? Are you, it's just ethereal.
Are you suggesting that if somebody kept their mouth closed, they would never be able to die?
No, they couldn't be possessed.
Okay.
Yeah, it's only loud mouths.
No,
this is not
an animated clown corpse with its
mouth sewn shut.
This is a ghost.
Okay, so when you say haunted mime or haunted ghost, I imagine a body that is inhabited by a ghost.
No.
It's like a haunted house isn't some sort of like ethereal ectoplasmic house.
Yes, it is. Look at them. They're all fucked up and the shutters are all broken and the insulation
is
terrible
them.
And the roof is leaky. Yeah.
This sounds more like a zombie house.
A haunted house is the ghost of a house.
Okay.
But sometimes,
but you can walk around in it and
largely,
touch the walls.
So largely, a haunted house occurs at the site of the house that it started in.
Okay.
Of which there are some skeletons.
It's overlapping?
What you are confusing, you are confusing the house's skeleton with the house's ghost. They're two very different things. And when you say a haunted house, you're talking about the ghost and not the skeleton. Anyway, the second third of The Secret World takes place in Egypt. And
mummies, right?
You get there and it's like, well, there's this sort of militant cultists shooting at you with machine guns and stuff. And there's this sort of like a modern day city where this shit is going. And it's just like, you know.
Pyramids? Tombs?
Yeah, eventually. But I kind of. I am so much less excited about a mummy in a pyramid than I am about, like, a skeleton in a catacomb.
You get cool traps in a pyramid.
The Scorpion King was pretty great.
They're very similar things. I mean, listen, if Dwayne The Rock Johnson had appeared in the second act of The Secret World, then all bets would have been off.
What about
what if Mark Wahlberg had been there?
That's basically Egypt.
But it's also got lasers, so...
Yeah, but I mean, they could, if they were smart, they could incorporate all that, right? Because it's all Egypt.
Yeah. Anyway, I wasn't that excited about... I don't get excited
about
mummies. What
about air raids by Israel?
So, as it turned out, the second part of the second act was a little bit better because it was just less... Like, I like to pretend that apart from the fact that I have a shotgun... The Secret World does not actually take place in the real world, right?
Do you have to be in the real world to have a shotgun?
Well, no, but shotguns are a thing that exist in the real world, right? So, like, if you were, like...
So are dudes and... I mean, like there are all kinds
of... Go ahead and finish
this. No, like, buildings, cities, like a lot of the things that...
Right, but I don't want to play an MMO where I'm fucking around in a parking garage. I want to play an MMO where I'm fucking around in a... forest temple that is ancient and filled with monsters.
Carriage garage.
Not a like a sleigh garage.
Okay.
A haunted garage.
Haunted for garage manager 2000.
For whatever reason, I just wasn't feeling it in Egypt. Yeah. Also, partly because I think they put their best foot forward in terms of the content development, and so the shit that happened in the beginning zones was both... just qualitatively better and sort of subjectively better from my perspective. So, but then I just was like, you know what? I'm just going to do all the story missions. I'm just going to plow through this. I'm going to power through it and get to Transylvania. And I got to Transylvania, and fuck yeah, Transylvania. I killed some ghouls, and they were in some houses that sort of looked like they might have been kind of old.
Did
maybe like
Dracula?
Houses from the 70s. Haven't killed any of the Strigoi.
Have you been to castles?
No, there are some castles. Okay. The map of Transylvania looks all medieval, like it's
Have you been attacked by some bats?
I went into a bar and there was like an ancient forest god that was like a bipedal elk.
I thought you were going to say an ancient forest Gump.
Yeah, well, it could be. Right.
Was he drinking something that may or may not have been wine?
Tens of thousands of years ago, these forests were pure, like a box of chocolates. He had a very deep voice, and he's sad that there's some factory, a vampire factory, dumping chemicals into the valley.
And he's just hanging out in a bar drinking?
Yep. It's awesome. It is so fucking great. You just walk into a bar, and there is a guy. There are, like, these little gnome people everywhere. Nobody seems to notice. Okay, whatever. Like, and you talk to one, and she's like, yeah, I'm 10,000 years old. What? Yeah, and you just walk into a bar, and there's a fucking elk, like a bipedal elk. And he's like, yeah, this shit's fucked. Like, this used to be.
Is it like my main problem is I cannot hold one of these glasses between my hooves.
Oh, I don't remember if he's drinking or not. Yeah, no, he has.
What
is
he doing in a bar?
He has hooves on his feet, but he has sort of like arms.
Sort of like arms?
Yeah, he has like hands.
So he's like kind of like a centaur.
I'm not 100% sure that he has the same number of fingers that we do, but it's not. He's not just like, would somebody please pour this fucking beer into my mouth? I can't pick
so
it up.
I can get dry.
I can't pick it up with these hooves. Yeah.
Bill Brasky.
Oh, man, maybe that was it. Maybe it was just Bill Brasky is in this bar. Oh, man, remember when Bill Brasky went to that bar in Transylvania, convinced everybody that some ancient forest god had come back to life, sent people on all these weird fucking errands? Yeah, that was a pretty good story.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's pretty cool. The trees are important. You got me in this, oh. Like, oh man, trees rule. You go and help them. It was fun.
This reminds me of, this is not completely connected, but there's a bit in Barkley Shut Up and Jam Gaiden where you find the secret town in the sewer where all the furries live. And these are people who have actually fulfilled their lifelong dreams of having
become animals?
Become anthropomorphic animals through cosmetic surgery.
Oh, I thought it was like through some
No, there's an actual surgeon down there that you meet who's been doing all these operations for these people for an exorbitant fee. And there's one of these characters tells you this very elaborate and sad story about when he was a kid living with his abusive stepfather. His only real escape from this shitty situation was watching cartoons on TV. And his favorite cartoon was Huckleberry Hound. And that's why he got Huckleberry Hound plastic surgery. And you're talking to a Huckleberry Hound sprite.
I don't think that's what happened. I think that this guy in Transylvania was actually an ancient forest god.
You think this was this is not a guy with ancient forest god elective surgery because of
his
voice
is
stepfather?
Super deep. If he had had like a nasally nerd voice, then I would think that maybe it was just some furry. But this guy's voice is super deep.
Voice replacement surgery.
You could get some knots put in the cords there.
He also sounded kind of British.
Oh well, that's different.
Yeah. See, I think it's authentic. All right. So I'm pretty sure that's what we've been playing.
Yeah.
You know something that really bothers me about this office?
No.
Okay. So in the bathroom.
Yes.
The tiles are not arranged relative to the toilet such that there is either a seam or a tile that is centered on the toilet. So when you are pissing, you can either stand with your body square with the wall and your dick centered on the toilet, mm-hmm. or you can stand with your feet positioned in the center of rows of tiles.
Question. Why are you standing so close to the toilet and not just trying to piss into it from across the bathroom as some sort of game?
If you were doing that, you would still want to be centered on it.
No. That's what makes it more interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess in our bathroom, the way that you get the most distance is by not just backing straight off of the toilet.
Yeah. I mean, you've played skee-ball, right? I mean, the best way to get the 100-point counters is to deflect the ball off the side of the alley so that it bounces into the opposite corner. Peeing is the same way.
Okay. Yeah. So I would be getting a better score if I wasn't trying to just come at it dead center.
Right.
I mean, basically, this is why I've been peeing into the refrigerator. The tiles I mean, the refrigerator you can just move, right? Like, and I did. That's true. When I first noticed that it wasn't centered on the tiles, I was like, fuck this. And I moved the refrigerator. Toilet, it's harder. You can push on it, certainly.
This explains why the fridge is in the middle of the living room.
Yeah, well, something had to.
Which is weird, because there's no tile in the living room.
Yeah.
I know. That's why it's, that is why I am comfortable pissing there.
I see.
Man, remember, we both grew up with, like, weird pissing and longevity rituals.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every time you piss off center, it takes 2 or 3 minutes off your life, depending on how long it takes you to piss.
Yeah.
It's probably, I doubt if either one of us has ever taken a single sustained piss that was 2 minutes. That's a long time.
That is a long
time.
That is a long time.
Yeah. We should try it. We should have a literal pissing contest. A duration content, not a distance, because I would just, you guys, there would be no competition. What's new, Kevin?
Well, there was a crazy battle in EVE Online.
Man. Did you read about what started it?
Some dude accidentally jumping into a system instead of bridging into a system.
Yep.
I don't even know what that means.
So apparently there is a certain category of ship that can open warp gates for other ships.
It is basically a space station that is a spaceship.
Okay.
So he was trying to send a bunch of people into enemy space. For what reason, I don't know.
They were trying to take over a moon, I think.
But he, instead of hitting the button to create the gate to that area, he accidentally hit the button to warp there, was a giant unattended
So like
super vulnerable platform in enemy space that just immediately got dogpiled. Then he called in reinforcements, and then they called in reinforcements, and then he called in reinforcements, and then they called in reinforcements.
It escalated dramatically over like an hour or so.
Apparently Goonswarm got their asses handed to them.
Yeah, it was like they lost 3 of the most valuable ships in the game, which is like thousands of dollars.
Yeah, thousands of dollars worth of stuff.
Yeah, like super crazy.
You know, it's a better game when stories like this happen in it. Yeah. I bet the people that lost shit that they spent months working on
feel pretty shitty.
Yeah. So that is an interesting virtual world in which it is trivially easy for a given character in it to just sort of commit suicide by saying, fuck this video game, I'm going to go get a job instead of playing this video game all the time. And then, you know, the landscape changes.
Yeah. The fact that there are these intense social hierarchies and organizations that have arisen that caused these kinds of conflicts. And
with metagame spying and everything.
But I think this is the first conflict of this scale that I've heard of, and I wonder how much of it is that, like, because everybody on both sides is so invested in this stuff, you wouldn't have ever had a bunch of people decide to have a fight like this where they're risking all of their shit, right? Like, just it was an accident that caused it, which kind of makes me, as guy who wants to fuck with stuff, like, maybe you go in there and you like, look, you had an accident. Oh, like, maybe as CCP, you want to make shit like this happen every once in a while. Like, maybe, hey, I know, let's wait till this guy's about to hit this button interface and then swap the positions of the buttons. That's what an Icelander sounds like, right?
Yeah, that's just their plain language.
Yeah. What was I just saying then? Where is the bathroom?
Yeah, basically.
Where is the bathroom?
Where is the refrigerator?
Could you direct me to a bathroom in which the toilet is centered on the tiles? Every picture that I saw of that looked like every other picture from EVE Online, which is to say,
incomprehensible.
Just incomprehensible chaos.
Yeah, a lot of the like player commentary about it was like, yeah, you know, this game is great because of these sort of moments of, you know, extremely high adrenaline that happen every so often. The downside is really that there are weeks of just like looking at spreadsheets in between. And I'm like, yeah, that doesn't sound super great by any means.
And you're someone who likes a spreadsheet.
Yeah, I mean, I could imagine getting into this game, but
I want a video game world to be orders of magnitude more exciting and eventful than the real world, and my real world is already pretty eventful.
Oh, yeah?
Just shit rules, man. You see my Facebook feed? I'm at every party.
Since you haven't logged into Facebook in like a year.
No, I know. I haven't been to a single party because nobody invites me to any parties by post-tarantula anymore, which is the only way that I accept mail. And that's just because I think tarantulas, really, hey, little buddy, was that a letter for me?
What's this note on your collar, fella?
Timmy fell down a well 6 months ago.
Wow, that sucks.
Thanks for telling me. Bye.
I should really not drink the water out of that well. There was like a 6-month-old rotting corpse in there. Ooh, really dodged a bullet on that one.
Yeah.
What else is in the news?
Disney has shut down Junction Point, which is the game studio that made Epic Mickey 2. Warren Spector and his crew.
Had they done anything else?
I don't know. They brought on, or Warren Spector joined Disney in like 2008 to do Epic Mickey. So they might have had some stuff before that point, but I'm not aware of it. So yeah, I don't know what that means. I assume that they're all looking for work now.
Yeah, everybody's always looking for work.
Disney has some
Every
sort
studio
of
always shuts down.
Game in the pipeline that's going to be some sort of like MMO. It's called Infinite or something.
I did not realize that Epic Mickey 2 came out. Like somehow it was released and entirely escaped my notice.
It sold, like the original Epic Mickey was available, I think, only on Wii. Like Nintendo Wii, and it sold to over 2 million copies. And this game, Epic Mickey 2, was available on a bunch of different platforms and sold way less than that, like just over 1 million copies.
I mean, I can't imagine most people who played Epic Mickey being willing to buy another
sequel.
Yeah.
So the Infinity thing is like a, isn't that the one that's like a RFID action figure thing, like Skylanders or something?
It is the only property that Disney is currently, any only video game property that I'm aware that Disney is currently developing.
Mm. I like was half listening to A Giant Bomb where they were talking about that, and I think that maybe you're right that it's some just like cross all IPs.
Yeah, I could see that. Which
I think it's supposed to have some kind of sandbox thing where you can build your own stuff, similar to the way Lego Universe did for a bit, although presumably, hopefully, much better than that.
I never actually post-beta played with any of the building stuff in Lego Universe.
Yeah, me neither.
Like,
it's weird that kind of terrible. Minecraft is a better Lego-style game than the Lego game was.
Yeah, well, because Lego had
to worry about kids and cocks and balls.
Yeah, well, I mean, they were running a server that they were responsible for all the content on, right? Yeah, I mean, like, Minecraft is distributed across small private groups, and so they sort of treat that stuff the way that we do in KOL stuff, which is to say, like, well, you know, we will build these systems, and if people want to fuck each other's shit up, that's sort of a social problem, so they will work it out on their own.
I mean, we provide tools like Ignore, and if you need more than that.
Right, and you certainly, like, and same as Minecraft, right? Like, you don't have to let somebody onto your server, but if you let somebody onto your server, they're going to be able to blow up all your shit.
I mean, Minecraft was a pretty compelling single-player experience, though, and I think that might be the difference, right? Like, you can get into Minecraft as a single-player thing and then get excited about it on a multiplayer server, but you don't have to ever go
there. There is no reason that LEGO Universe couldn't have been a fun game on its own.
Right. And that's what I was wondering. Like, why couldn't they have sort of reimagined it as a single-player game with the possibility of multiplayer and sort of safe
Well, they did. They called it Lego Harry Potter Years 1 through 3.
Yeah, that's true. I guess they themed all those. Just what you do is you mash all of those game universes together into a single game.
And then you make it an MMO so that, like, latency is such that none of your gameplay tropes
work at all.
Yeah. Like, did you play Lego Universe at all?
I did not.
It was painful.
Did you play post beta at all?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think it was getting slightly better by the time they ended up shutting down.
There were a lot of weird decisions in that, though. Like, very, very limited inventory with no bank, and all the quests gave you, like, outfit unique items and bricks. Yeah, that took up inventory slots.
Yeah,
it's very strange.
My primary experience of that was trying to build something and being unable to position two sections of castle such that the nibs lined up.
Exactly the same problem, yeah.
And I was like, well, guess I'm not building anything in this game because, you had one job in simulating Legos, and that is making
and
it so
Lego
you can
has
plug the Legos into
really
other Legos.
Good 3D block building software. So they know how to make that stuff correctly. Or, well Lego,
yeah, but your,
the company
your
does.
Buddy,
maybe
your
this
buddy
other,
Chris is the one responsible for making this all shitty.
That's true.
He bailed.
He bailed as soon as he realized what was going on. Yeah. So, yeah.
Whole world should have listened to him.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. What else is going on? Valve has quietly released the original Half-Life for Mac and Linux.
Nice.
They didn't announce it per se, but it suddenly became available as something that you could install on Macs and Linux. And I wonder if that's in service of a potential third game in the works, or whether
maybe, or it might be because they're setting up for their Linux box thing.
Yeah, that's true. They could be doing that. There's any number of potential reasons.
And they decided that the best thing for that was to port a 15-year-old game engine to.
Well, they want all of their games to be playable on that box, I imagine. So
yeah,
you know what you do? You install Windows on that box, and that makes all of your games playable on it.
They very specifically don't want to do that. I haven't. Gabe Newell, I think, gave a talk today that I've not had a chance to listen to yet. But I think he's talking about how consoles are not a threat to Valve's market at all, but Apple is their main concern in terms of a competitor, which I'm curious whether that's going to be a real thing or not.
Can we all just get along?
Well, not when everybody wants 30%, right? There's only three of those in any given thing. And then, I don't know, this isn't really a specific news story so much as there's just been a ton of, discussion about violence in video games.
You skipped one.
Did I?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Duncan Jones is going to be directing the new World of Warcraft movie.
I thought Sam Raimi was
did he give attached up on to that?
I don't know. They announced
who
that
is Duncan
Jones.
Duncan Jones is David Bowie's son who directed Moon.
Oh.
And Source Code.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know anything about Source Code.
Source Code's
Moon
good.
It was awesome. Pretty good. Moon was not, Source Code was not, it was no Moon. I saw it and I said, that was no Moon. But it was as good
as. I thought
as,
it was very good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it quite a bit.
It had a Gyllenhaal.
Yeah. It had a good, it had an interesting plot structure and it was good.
Well, it had a scientist who wasn't putting up with any of this shit.
Did not with this shit put up, yeah.
It had a terrain.
Yeah, it had a lot of terrain.
It had that sculpture in Chicago.
The bean?
Yeah,
sure.
The big mirror. Yeah.
Mirror ball?
Yeah.
Which is all reference back to Labyrinth. Giant glass balls.
Sure.
But yeah, so violence in video games, there are senators talking about how it's the worst thing since sliced bread.
It's the worst thing since sliced children.
Much worse than easy universal availability of guns.
Yeah, I mean, there was a senator today who's part of the NRA, basically one of their prime backers, and he was talking about how video games are way worse than guns in terms of violence.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is weird, given that the Supreme Court said that the link between violence and video games is tenuous at best and not something that we should really legislate based on.
Yeah, that was last year.
It was 2011.
So, yeah.
and we're
pretty recently
still talking about it.
I mean, some of them, like Biden, at least seems to know what's going down. I read about him having the big roundtable thing with a bunch of game industry people and basically straight up saying, you know, I know and you guys know that this is not a thing, but you guys kind of have an image problem and you should see what you can do about that.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's true.
You know, if they make video games illegal, you know who's going to be disappointed? Mike Fatom, Minneapolis, one of our Kickstarter backers.
Is he going to be disappointed because you're too drunk to say his name correctly?
No.
Correctly. You're too drunk to say his name correctly.
I'm reading it. I just read it. This is Mike Fatom, Minneapolis.
Oh, wow. He typed it wrong. Okay. All
right. I mean, that's completely different.
No, that was pretty funny.
But yeah, there's going to be a lot of sadness.
Mike, you had one job. And that was to type from without any typos in it.
I think it's very mythos-y to be Fatom someplace.
Would you stop saying mythos?
What do you say, mythos?
I don't, man. Pretty mythology?
Sure mythology?
Yeah, that, listen, we're not studying people with mushrooms for tongues.
We could, though. That'd be.
I guess that was a joke about how if you also didn't
nothing
pronounce
tastes like anything.
Mycology. If you pronounced mycology, mysology, and you had a lisp,
that's kind of where I thought you were going.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was. But I was worried that no one on Earth other than Riff understood where I was going with that.
Yeah.
You know who would have understood? Loxodonta.
Huh.
Yeah.
Kickstarter supporter, Loxodonta.
I expect Kickstarter supporter Tragus or any stupid variation therefore would also understand.
I am.
Although I'm not sure I understand his usage of the word therefore.
So Tragus is the little thing in your ear.
What?
So
it's one of the it's not the hammer.
No. It's on the outside. It is a thing that you can get pierced. So I know.
I thought that was just the earlobe.
No. So park your car at your eye, and get out of your car, and go out towards the canyon that you see. Like go towards the pit. Okay. Go towards this crater.
Yeah.
You will see a place that you want to go. Which is like a little promontory that sticks up and seems like it would give you a really good view of this canyon. Okay. That is Tragus.
Hi, Tragus.
Huh. How did you get enough money to back our Kickstarter?
Yeah, that's weird.
What the fuck? What are you doing while I'm asleep?
I can't hear you.
Yeah.
You know...
this hat ain't getting any less full.
It is possible that Word Realms will come out before we finish thanking all of the Kickstarter backers, even though Word Realms is never going to come out. Isn't that right, Gleebs? Gleebs, you know who
Gleebs
you are, Gleebs.
Knows.
Yeah, Gleebs knows.
Gleebs is the bomb.
Which do you think will come out first, Word Realms or Laser Mike 6?
Did Laser Mike 1, the final version, come out?
I don't think so.
Okay. Then I don't feel as threatened.
Josh's song, Laser Mike, came out.
Yeah, released.
Rapping.
I'm trying to think of a funny joke about Kickstarter backer Matt, but I'm having a hard time.
Okay.
Yeah. I've got one here named Isladar the Mad Mathmagician.
That's nice.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
There was a mathmagician in that... what was the name of that game with
Donald Duck?
No, the one that was like you sign up for it, and every week they send you another part of the.
Puzzle. And it was kind of like an Alice's
Planetarium.
Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah,
but it wasn't Planetarium, was it?
Oculatorium.
Planscapadium. Planetarium.
It was definitely
I think it was called Planetarium.
Okay.
Because it wasn't a real word.
No, but
I should go back and try
that
again now that I've definitely forgotten everything in it. Let's see if I can get any further.
So that was the news.
Yeah.
Fucking assignment, man. If
what is the assignment?
Miasmata, if
yes.
if you put a bunch of dudes who knew me in a room and you gave them the goal of building a machine for upsetting me, they would not, I think, have been able to come up with as good a machine for upsetting me as this video game.
I felt like it had a lot of problems, but I definitely didn't get as far as Kevin did, but it was starting to grow on me.
I started playing, I fucked with some plants, I got lost, and stayed helplessly lost for an hour, and then I died. And then I could restore, but I was already almost dead.
Oh, because you would... I didn't realize that you'd saved while you were not well. The fact that there's a single save slot is pretty damning if you get screwed.
Yeah.
Anyway, I did not get past the initial friction that this game applies to you in terms of it just being like...
It is difficult to navigate the world.
So it is difficult to move, and it is made more difficult to move by the fact that your character is periodically like racked by coughs, mm-hmm. and that often the weather is just zero visibility darkness for no fucking reason.
So the racked by coughs is only if you are sick.
It's because but do you get sick by falling?
You get sick by falling.
Or
so,
being in water for too long.
Yes. So you need to get to the situation where your health is okay and then carry some medicine with you and never get to a situation where you are going to have to like stop and cough and stuff like that.
Sure. And I guess that my problem is that without, like, I never managed to...
Did you ever make basic medicine or the extreme medicine?
Okay, sure. So I made them exactly once before I got hopelessly lost and never again had any fucking idea where I or anything else was. Like, there was never a point where pointing my map at anything didn't result in a question mark. And so I never, like, I read the instructions. So first of all, here is one of my problems with the game. Every once in a while, something would come up, and I would say, why did everything turn red and I fell over? And it said in the bottom of the screen, you are, press H to, fuck you, too late, you didn't press H, now you'll never know. So I have no fucking idea what was going
on.
That
only happened to me once where I missed the opportunity to see the little help message or whatever, and I have no idea what it said.
I think that happened 5 or 6 times before I wrote the note to myself, fuck you, too late.
Why didn't you just put a weight on your H key so that anytime something came up, it would immediately...
One time I drank some water in a way that I am almost certain would result in the real world in a knife going right into my eye.
I do have the habit of when I go to drink water, I am looking down too far, so I am apparently drinking it out of my elbows.
Okay.
When you pick up some sticks, they immediately burst into flame, which is very useful.
Handy.
But then if you swap out that hand to like hold something else for a little bit and then pick up the sticks again, it does the exact same thumb motion as if you're holding a lighter, because that's your default like light thing. They didn't change the animation.
Oh, yeah, I found myself holding a lighter at some point, and I didn't know where that came from.
I've noticed it takes two sleeps to get through nighttime.
Well, that's if you go to bed too early.
Okay, but you go to bed before, I generally go a little bit early because I don't want to be wandering around when it's dark.
Yeah.
But I'll go to sleep, and there'll be like
a
50% chance that when I wake up, I'll light the lighter, or I won't, and everything will be pitch black, and I'll have to whirl around until I can find the little ZZZ icon.
That's pretty funny. Did you have, when you went to sleep, did you have a torch in your hand?
It is possible that that is what
was causing
it. Yeah, because
it burned out while you were asleep, so you woke up with a burned out torch in your hand.
So at one point,
if you had just thrown it, did you find out how to throw things?
Yeah.
Okay, no. So if you had just thrown it, your lighter would appear.
I think it's actually dropping the sticks when I go to bed, though.
No.
Really?
Yeah, when you wake up, you'll have sticks in your hand. Huh.
At one point, the game suggested that I might be interested in protecting myself against hostile agents on the island, and so I might want to replace the knife that I was holding with a rock.
So I was watching. I mean, this is a bit of a spoiler, so you might want to not.
No, I don't give a fuck, man. I'm
talking to our listeners. If they don't want to know anything, Riff was running around. I was watching Riff play for a little bit, and he was like carrying an axe, and I was like, "Yeah, I carried an axe for a while, and then I stopped because it is fucking useless. Oh my god, it is just such a pain in the ass to try to keep track of this weapon, which you are going to drop like 100 times, and you're going to drop it in a river. And it's gonna be just out of reach, and you can't get it, and you're gonna be so angry, you're gonna like reload, but there is no point in carrying it to begin with, so just don't bother.
It just feels so much safer carrying
it.
A knife.
It just is not. It is. You're gonna poke an eye out.
Man, after we were talking about that, I finally ran into the beast like 10 or 15 minutes later, and it was not scary.
It wasn't scary? I was freaked out the very first time.
I think what happened is that my initial encounter with him, like I can see it being scary if you start hearing that drum beat or heart pounding or whatever, and you look and you see like the bushes rustling.
Yeah.
That would be scary. I turned around and it was right there looking at me. And I'm like, oh, a kitty with bison horns. And then it killed me.
Huh. It's hard for me to imagine. I mean, this might have just been a something about the way that my settings were set up, but like there was constant movement in every quadrant of vision from textures popping in when I was playing
it. Oh, weird.
And so it was...
Textures only popped in for me in the far distance as I approached stuff.
Same here.
Can you... I called you while I was playing this game because I was so pissed off.
About the triangulation stuff.
Basically what it seems like to me is that if you are the kind of person who is prone to getting lost,
you're fucked.
The first time you get lost, you are fucked. The first time you get lost, it is just fucking game over.
Yeah. I'm prone to be getting lost, and I definitely have been. My advancement has been very slow because I've been very careful about mapping everything I possibly can.
My problem with being careful is that I could never tell whether the ground was flat or not, apparently, because I would just fall off of shit by accident all the time,
you might have been on level ground, but something that this game does, which is super weird, is you have a tremendous amount of inertia.
Yeah.
If you are walking...
Dude likes to run.
If you are walking towards
a
cliff...
as he can.
Well, if you're walking towards a cliff, you need to stop like 10 feet before the edge of the cliff, because if you get up close to it, you'll just keep going.
Yeah.
And you're just over the edge. And like, it just happened over and over again. It was super frustrating. I finally figured out, like, you can actually walk down almost... vertical walls if you do it right.
Yeah, I did discover I like saved myself a lot of times by like when I was starting to slip down a steep slope of spinning around and trying to run the opposite direction so that you go down a lot more slowly.
and
things like that, and like trying to like spin on corners.
You can climb
up
much steeper hills if you sprint up them.
Yeah.
And you can start falling down a hill, and if you start sprinting up, you can sometimes counteract it. There's a bunch of weird technical choices that they made.
At this point in my life, I think that there is basically no way that I could get from my house to my office without a GPS.
I don't believe you.
What if getting from your house to somebody
else's house?
I just don't do it.
Yeah.
Have you heard about those things? It was originally a belt, but they made a production model that's an
the thing that vibrates, the one that's facing north. Yeah.
And you develop like a sixth sense for direction.
Well, I think you eventually stop being aware of the thing that's vibrating your batch.
wasn't there a radio lab that talked about
that one culture that has the mini map?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they just like there's a I forget, I wish I remembered more of the details about this, but there is just one tribe of people, one group of people somewhere that their language and their sort of mode of thinking is such that they are always aware of what direction they're facing. They have like an internal mini map of the environment, and a researcher.
But it's actually a thing that they can see and reference.
Yeah, and but a researcher spent some time with them, and they started having like they started being able to like know like just have these bearings in the same kind of like
interesting.
Yeah, it's just a different, you know, like this might have been in the episode where they talk about language and how. As you acquire words for things, you actually start to be able to have more complicated thoughts. Mm-hmm. And so because of the way that their language is formatted, they might just have these thoughts, which we just don't have.
That was one of the main concepts in Grant Morrison's Invisibles comic book series, was that there's actually 64 letters in the alphabet, but the conspiracy doesn't let us know all of them, because if we knew those words, we could make the words that describe magical things and thereby be able to use magic.
Interesting. But since 40 extra letters, that's a lot of...
But since we don't know those letters, we can't make those words, so we can't think about those concepts. So yeah, that's interesting stuff.
Yeah.
Every Radiolab just makes me sort of filled with existential horror. Right? I mean, that's like kind of what that show is for.
Yeah.
Like... I mean, I listened to the one.
There's a fine line between wonder and horror, but yeah.
I listened to the one recently where they were talking about color. The one about colors and how like nothing in the Iliad and the Odyssey are described as blue, and it's just because like it just really never really occurred to them that anything was blue. Like they just didn't really ever talk about it, so they didn't ever really see it. And the doctor, the scientist who was like, so I decided to try an experiment on my newborn daughter where nobody ever told her that the sky was blue. And I asked her, what color is the sky? And she said, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, what color is what? That isn't a color. What? Like, and no, like, it turns out that there isn't, like, the reason that you see the sky as blue is because you just, like, have been told that it's blue, and so you think of it as blue.
I've heard that there's a lot of trouble with that sort of thing semantically in Japanese, because apparently they don't have separate word for blue and green.
Oh, Christ, is that why fucking brain training is so bad at recognizing the word blue?
Oh, that might be.
That'd be funny. I thought you were going to make some sort of other horrible racist joke, so.
Kevin, come on.
That's not the way that Riff operates.
This is the new Zach.
Oh, no, I thought this is.
You thought Riff was going to make a racist joke?
Yeah.
How?
When did you change into the new model of Zach?
I don't know. People yelled at me on the internet about my racism, and I was like, oh, yeah, I should probably stop that. It's not racist to hate Jews, right? Because I still do that.
I think any group that hates themselves, you can just get on that bandwagon.
So,
yeah. So
sorry. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry.
I think I'm the only person that finished it.
I feel like a failure because I was so bad at this.
The game lasted 21 days, and the whole time my hands were filthy, and then magically I took one final injection, and suddenly my hands are clean. I was like, really? That's what did it?
I have not progressed very far. I've mapped a fairly large space, but I've only found one of the ingredients for the final solution. But I did manage to make two of the three stat increasers.
Yeah, those help a lot.
I actually made 5 of one of the stat increasers and then discovered that it only works once.
Oh, no.
Yeah. That was a lot of trips out to get that fucking trumpet mushroom, let me tell you. Because you can carry 3 plants,
but only one
of any given plant.
Yeah. There's
some weird things. I'm getting into it. I think the exploration and the navigation and the mapping
is fun.
Cool. And,
yeah.
And the botany is cool. I wish there was more to the story than just the botany.
There is a little bit of interesting story that you can find out about.
Yeah, I've seen some like notes about political stuff.
Have you found any plants that aren't useful for anything?
I found a bunch of plants that diagram talking about them. I was like, what?
That was my favorite part of the whole thing.
That was pretty cool. Oh,
explain this.
Well, this is a major spoiler plot-wise, if you like. So again, I guess if our listeners have not played it and they want to be unspoiled, they should turn off the radio.
Also, stop your podcast.
Turn up the radio. Turn down the podcast.
Turn the radio on. Turn the radio up.
So there's three flowers that
you find
that when you analyze them, it says these aren't good for anything.
Right. I found all of those.
Okay. You will eventually find like a notebook page with drawings of those flowers, and it says these are good to make anti-hallucinogens.
Yeah.
From.
Yeah, and the implication is that you don't want to make any medicine out of them because you are hallucinating and don't want to not be hallucinating.
Hmm.
The implication being that the thing that's following you is a hallucination.
Okay.
Which is interesting, given a bunch of
can
other things.
Can you make anything out of them?
No.
Nope.
Okay, so you just are, like, refusing.
Yes.
Okay.
There is a story that unfolds, and... Yeah.
I just wish there's ruins around, but there doesn't seem to be really anything in them. I would like a little more Indiana Jones.
Yeah, there's very much like the only thing that the ruins are ever good for is like pointing out where there are particularly good patches of plant life.
Yeah. I found like three of those owl statues, which for some reason don't work as map markers.
Right.
And then two of them I followed where the owl was facing. I was like, oh, extremely useful plant. And then I found a third one, didn't find a plant. So now I don't know what's going
Sometimes
on
Sometimes you have to walk pretty far
in
front of it. But yeah.
Yeah, and I'm just doing things like I got to a base camp. I ran out of directions of places to go next and just followed the coast and found another camp. And it's like, okay, I don't know what I'm supposed to look for in this area, but here's another path. I'll follow this path. Presumably this will go to where I was supposed to go to first.
Right.
But the path kind of petered out after a while, so I don't know.
Yeah, that was my problem with all of the paths in the game is the same as my problem in the real world, which is that what occurred to me in playing this and when my first instinct was to call you and ask for help is that on all of the backpacking trips that we've been on, if you hadn't been with me, I would have been dead 45 minutes after leaving the car. That is what I learned from playing this game. Somehow, I would have figured out a way.
I did feel like the game was oddly realistic in the way that like that you'd be following a path and then you'd be like, I can't tell if I'm still on the path or not. Like that is something that that happens all the time when you're backpacking. And then there are moments when you like lose your footing and it's like slippery and stuff like that. It's just, it happens so often. And the ground is just like polished glass. It is way slipperier than
dude will start to sprint. Even when if you're like on any kind of an incline, he just starts going even without pushing the sprint button. I was like, okay, I'm hitting backwards a little bit, so please don't run, retard.
Yeah.
It's okay if you want to walk around kind of slow for a while.
I like the idea of it, but some of the execution just drove me crazy. Mm. I yelled at my computer a bunch of times when I would fall down. Like, it's also, the game is extremely bad about rewarding you achievements. Like, that was really frustrating to me. Like, I made a bunch of this. Like, I have made one of every kind of medicine and didn't get achievements for half of them.
I got the achievement for the extra strength medicine on, like, the fourth one I made.
I mapped the entire fucking island and didn't get an achievement for mapping the coast of it. Just a bunch of stuff that I was like, you know.
I'm surprised that you care about Steam achievements.
I don't. I was just really surprised that it didn't register.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
I mean, it's not so much that I care for them. I don't collect
you
them.
Don't, you just dislike
nice
buggy implementation.
Yeah.
In general.
And you know, it's nice to see the thing go up and go, oh, yay.
I mean, I had to throw like six sticks at the beast thing before it registered.
Before you got the Dr. Seuss achievement.
So I don't think this game has enough of a payoff for me to recommend it to anyone to play. It has some interesting things going on, and if you could encapsulate that in a 3-hour experience instead of a 10-hour experience,
I think if you are interested in stumbling around in the woods and exploring for really no big payoff. Yeah. If that the experience of just exploring a kind of interesting wooded landscape island is enough for you, then this is cool.
See, yeah. I was excited about it specifically because I think that that would be enough to engage me. But
you just got screwed because you wandered off too far from stuff recognizable landmarks.
Yeah, like the friction that it applies. Like, just
if you are not lucky enough difficulty to climb a hill and get like a handful of good landmarks.
Yes. Like I was never able to do anything that allowed me to comprehend how triangulation worked.
They do seem.
I read about it, and then there was literally never a time when that thing did anything other than pop up a question mark.
In the triangulation is both easier and harder than it is in real life too, because in real life, when you're looking at stuff and you have a map in front of you, it is often very difficult to tell what exactly you're looking at. Like,
right.
Like the game just told you whether or not it was a landmark, which is just unrealistic and kind of ridiculous.
No, I mean, I remember during the handful of times when we've gotten lost,
yeah,
and we're having to look at topo maps to figure it out. It's like, well, is that hill this hill?
Right.
You know, and it's never, it's even a little
very
bit clear.
Rarely, yeah, clear cut. But on the other hand, there would be like, I would know that there was an island, and I would see this thing on an island. I'd be like, I should be able to just say that is, that thing is right there,
yeah,
without having to do some sort of annoying triangulation. But that never worked.
Or I should be able to say, I recognize that tree.
Yes, there were a bunch of like standing stones that would have been nice to be able to have be as landmarks and stuff. Mm-hmm. But yeah,
it also seemed like there were some landmarks where the way they were arranged seemed kind of gamey and unnatural. It seemed like the foliage and stuff was placed around them specifically so that if you stepped to the side enough to get that second landmark in view, you could no longer see the first one.
Hmm. Well, I mean, you can't begrudge them making it a video game, right?
No, not at all. But I don't know. For a game that is otherwise such a natural feeling sort of exploration thing, it was a little obvious.
There are two mountains that you could climb. If you climb them, if you happen to climb them on a sunny day, you can get probably a third of all the landmarks on the island all in the same time, which makes a huge difference.
Yeah. Find those white spotted red mushrooms and can make the clarity potion,
that also helps a bunch.
That is huge.
See, I found some of those, but then never found a laboratory again.
Afterwards.
I found a bunch of places where there was an analysis station and a bin, but was never able to, like, I think that there are a lot of alternate dimensions in which I played and got into this game because the thing that happened to me when I tried to just, like, sit down and play it for serious didn't happen, which was that, like, all right, so I'm moving along and I found a map fragment, and I'm moving along and I found another map fragment. Now I don't know where I am. I can't see. I can't move, really. Like, and it's especially bad for me because I at some point recognized that I had just been like walking in all the time that I thought that I was wandering around. I had just been walking back and forth along the floor of this valley. But even after recognizing that, like,
did you bring up your compass and look at it much?
Oh, no. It never actually occurred to me to use the compass to know what direction was which. Yeah.
Trying to go to a coast or something.
The fact that the interface will spin you around was also, like, that was just the kiss of death for me. Like, my ability to navigate three-dimensional.
Getting stuck in a valley is awful because if you try to climb out up one of the steep sides and you fall.
Yeah.
Who knows?
You cannot take a lot of falling.
Yeah.
But you fall and then you don't know which way you're facing anymore. Yeah. And I guess it never occurred to me to use the compass. Even though Michael Stipe gave me that advice that it would help me along.
Yeah.
What's our next assignment?
So in keeping with the sort of indie game theme, next week we are going to play Little Inferno. I don't know much about it except for
it's one of the IGF nominees, right?
Yeah. So. And I'm not entirely sure that it is a
fire
game.
It's up against Drake's
It might just be what? A thing. It might just be a toy burning simulator. I really don't know.
Huh. Fuck, what is
it? It's
this?
On sale. It's on sale for, on Steam.
Why have
for
I
the
forgotten
the
stupid
so.
Joke? What's the, I don't know. What are the games that last GDC was all about the fire and...
I don't know. Uncharted.
Uncharted,
2?
Yeah.
That
Uncharted
one was
3.
Water. That was,
that was
the water.
That was the
wasn't
water.
It?
Okay. Yeah. Well, then this is about fire instead.
Yes.
Never mind.
Now you just need a game.
Bad
that's
joke,
with
badly
excellent
executed.
Earth, and then one that's where the air
it's got super
is
good
extremely
wind.
Realistic.
Oh, Legend of Zelda Wind Waker.
Oh, there you go. The new screenshots of that look really pretty.
Man, if any of my problems with that game had anything to do with how that game looked, then I would be even a little bit excited about this.
Well, they have said they're going to make some gameplay changes, but they haven't said
did we
more.
Talk about this on the last show?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
About your disappointment with them in general?
I mean, that's true of everything.
Yeah.
Especially the Jews. Anyway, Little Inferno.
Little Inferno.
You buy it on the Steams?
You can. It's on sale for a while.
Okay. Yeah. For a while. That's how much it costs.
Yeah.
One while. This is also how much it costs for you to pee. Kevin, if somebody wanted to ask us a question for our usually non-existent listeners mail segment,
they could tweet at us at VGHotDog. They could email us VGHotDog@gmail.com, and they could check out our forums, maybe, which you could probably get to. Although, good luck signing up for an account at a link via VideoGamesHotDog.com. Actually, here's the thing: if anybody knows.
Like, let's say you're using a kind of an outdated version of VBulletin 3.
Well, there's that. But, like, are forums in the modern world in such a state that they simply cannot avoid being inundated by spam bots? Or is it just us? Like, what is going on such that if we turn on any kind of...
Yeah, if we make it comprehensible for somebody to make an account, we get hundreds of spam bots signing up per
day.
Hour.
Well,
or
yeah.
Per day.
Yeah. It depends...
Hundreds per day, certainly. Tens yes. per hour.
Tens per hour, at least.
And if we make it incomprehensible to sign up, then we don't get any users.
I mean, I feel like it's not too bad. You just have to send a message to
no,
Elfrin.
Have you
it?
Seen it lately?
Oh, is it new?
It is okay. Fucking crazy now.
God.
Nobody has any idea how it works.
I mean, she has simplified it a little bit from what it was, but it's still complicated. You know,
I trust the
I guess we could
intelligence
just
of our listeners that they would be able to
assuming
to
that
it out.
assuming that the methodology doesn't change, and if you haven't already made a forum account, if you just go to the forums from the link on videogameshotdog.com, there are some instructions. Basically, you go to a forum called General Asymmetry. You look for the a sticky thread. And in that thread, there's a post which lists the phrase for the day. And that is the phrase that you cut and paste into...
The nonsense question
well,
in the sign-up
yeah,
form.
I don't think it's a nonsense question anymore.
Oh.
So I think it's more like, if you should already know what the answer to this is. If you don't, go back and read the instructions. Anyway, that's theoretically the sign-up
You know
process.
Something that I noticed about the number 88, Kevin?
Yes. It's crazy.
Yeah. You guys, if you like Video Games Hot Dog and you enjoy getting it for free, you know, I mean, we don't charge you for this podcast. We're just like...
Actually, we do. We just don't tell you about it.
We'll do a podcast.
That mystery charge on your credit card.
Yeah, when they round up when your sales tax, that's what we do.
Oh, we get all the little bits of that.
Yeah.
Because we are a combination of... Richard Pryor and the guy from Office Space.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. I can't remember that guy's name. Would have been great if I'd remember that actor's name. It's like a normal game. It's like Arthur Charlesmans. You know, a normal
it's
game.
It's not Michael Bolton.
Go to iTunes and give us a review. Say,
yeah.
Hey, Video Games Hot Dog fucking rules. Don't say
Woo!
That. They'll censor it. They'll change your U into an asterisk.
Give us some stars.
R asterisk L yes.
Yeah, you know, just maybe like tell your friends. Maybe you could go on Facebook and say like, "Hey, Video Games, I like We should probably have a Facebook. We should have a Facebook. Yeah. Man, God damn it.
Social media.
You know, do you remember 10 years ago when I succeeded at the internet once?
No.
Ever since then, it's just been like, I have no idea what the fuck is going on.
I guess you made, you made a website and some people came to
it. I made a website and then it was like, hey, viral.
Yep.
Man.
And now you're a carrier.
You guys listen to this podcast and then say, hey, I listened to a podcast. It's pretty good.
Yeah, but don't do it all creepy-like.
It's not creepy.
Anyway, have a great week, everybody. See you next week.
You guys, I've had a really good time doing this podcast with you.
Goodbye.
This week's guest star, Salad Fingers.
You guys don't want to keep doing the show? I'm not done. I got a lot of energy.
Grubby taps.